Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta be strong. Sometimes you win,
evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ah, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we just want to tell him thank you on tonight. We just want to bless his holy name because he is truly, truly worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's just marvelous at all times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even when we may not think so, he's just marvelous anyhow. Hallelujah. And on tonight, we just want to talk about abuse. We want to talk about physical abuse. Emotional abuse. Self-abuse. And we want to talk about healing. See you, area code 214. Have your way, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hello, good evening, area code 214. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministry.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling from Texas.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm fine. Did you call for a question, a comment, or a praise report tonight?
Actually, for some advice and some prayer and I guess a little bit of everything. I'm in pieces right now.
Okay. Kind of understand that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, can we ask you your first name? You don't have to give it to us if you don't want to, but I don't want to be saying, hey, you.
Oh, okay, that's okay. Christina.
Christina, okay, Christina, nice to meet you. My name is Teresa.
Teresa.
Yeah, so you are on the line, so if you want to just go ahead and share what's going on your heart, and then we can pray for you.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you. Well, I don't know how to make this short, but for you and all the listeners to get the gist of it, back in 2002, I was an exotic entertainer, I was into drugs real bad. And, of course, in that field, we don't take any male seriously. I met this guy, and it didn't work out because I was, you know, into other things. You know, I wanted the fast lifestyle. I wasn't ready to settle down and everything. And he accepted that, and we remained friends. About 4 years ago, he moved on. Well, I say moved on. He got a lady pregnant, moved in with her, and married her. And that was a loss right there. Even though he was a friend, I guess in the back of my head I always had that fantasy, you know, we're going to get back together again and whatever. But I never changed my lifestyle all them years because it was already over in 2003. He already told me, you know, we're friends and, you know, nothing else is going to come out of it. So I tried to be grateful for that, but I always wanted more. Last month in October, he passed away. He had a heart attack, and his wife had called me and told me, I don't know why I was expecting her to be there for me, I guess, because I knew him, too. I mean, I knew him for 10 years, and I guess I just wanted us to be there for each other, but I guess it just wasn't, you know, meant to be. And I've always heard that if you're not sincere about a relationship with someone, God's not going to make it happen. And what I had done, me and this guy had done, was we sinned. We had an affair the whole time he was with this lady. We slept together, and it slowly disintegrated. He felt really bad for, you know, doing this to her the whole time she was pregnant. So it just got to the point where I hardly seen him because he had his family life. I could understand that. And it just got to the point where I would just send him pictures, which, again, that's wrong of me, but I was just so lusting after this man, and I was, you know, going to be happy with anything I got. You know, even if I could just get, like, a comment here and there, you know, like, I'm still sexed now. It was wrong, but at the time, I liked it. I mean, it was being sneaky and all that stuff. But now, I guess that's why it didn't happen. Maybe she sensed something was going on, or maybe she was just in her own little world grieving, but I guess I wanted more attention from her and the mother. Because, like I said, I knew him, too. Sunday, I went to his grave. And I could tell right away that she did not like me being there. She was very rude and inconsiderate. And she had left. And later that night, she had texted me, and told me not to go over there anymore. And I got mad behind that, and I told her, you know what, your husband wasn't perfect. He sinned, and I sinned, and she's like, well, what do you mean y'all sinned? I mean, what have you trying to tell me my husband cheated on me? And I told her, yes. She said, I don't believe you. You're lying. Send me proof. And I sent her an email that was sent to me from him back in 2009, and she was very angry about it. I know I would be if I was in her shoes. And the reason I told her is that I didn't have nothing to lose. I mean, the mother wasn't talking to me. She wasn't talking to me. I guess I just wanted a piece of him still in my life. And, oh, you know when they say the true self sets you free? Well, I felt better after I told her, but it didn't make me feel, you know, like any better. I just felt like pure evil. You know, why did I do that? I guess I wanted her to hurt as much as I did when he, you know, chose to be with her. So I'm having a real hard time over this. Evidently, you know, she hasn't called me. She hasn't texted me. I tried to do the right thing, and I texted her and apologized and asked for her forgiveness, but I haven't heard from her since, so. I don't know, and yes, that's it. That's all it boils down to. Just having a hard time dealing with everything.
But you said he just died in October.
Yes, here recently. Recently, I didn't. He died of a heart attack. I didn't know of the news till about 2 weeks later, because nobody knew my phone number. Nobody knew where I lived. Nobody knew how to contact me. And since he was married, you know, it was only text messages between us. You know, I never called him, of course, because he wouldn't answer, show up on the phone bill. But, yeah, I found out 2 weeks later, 2 days after the funeral, actually. So she had already dealt with this, I'm guessing, for like 2 weeks, and it was still fresh to me because I just found out, you know, about 4 months, four weeks ago, actually, I just found out.
So what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Healing? Looking for what exactly are you looking for? Because you already asked her to forgive you. So now, what exactly are you wanting? Are you born again? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ?
That, oh boy, I want to for a very long time. When all of this was going on, I had hatred, because I'm thinking, okay, it says in the Bible, you reap what you sow. You know, you do bad, bad's going to happen to you. It's just regardless. You know, it's written in stone almost. And I wanted him so bad to have a divorce or with her, find out that child wasn't his, or, you know, just thinking all these evil thoughts. And I believed in the Bible, I believed in God, but that one part I was having trouble with. Because I'm thinking, this man is having an affair with me, but then when he goes home to his wife, he's got the whole family, the whole white picket fence, perfect, and I'm over here by myself only. But I put myself in that situation. So I'm over here, you know, heartbroken, because she has everything I, you know, want. Which is wrong, because you're not supposed to want another, you know, wise man. But, you know, at the time, I was just so blind and so in love that I did whatever. Now that he passed away, for some odd reason, I'm thinking, okay, he finally reached what he sowed. He was having an affair with me. He was, come to find out, he was seeing a coworker at his job. We don't know what went behind that. She just found, you know, the number in his phone. She don't know what happened. Anything could happen between them. But she didn't know about the girl. And now that, you know, that he passed away, I'm thinking, wow, you do reap what you sow. I don't know. We're all going to die one day.
We're all going to die one day. We're all
going
to reap what we sow, whether, you know, we die early or we, you know, die later or something happens, you know, while we're leaving. But what, my thing is, what do you want right now? If you want God, if you want to give your life and turn your life over to God, we can help you. If you're still angry at him because he was with that other woman who was his wife, if you're angry with him because he didn't choose you over her, then you got to let that go now, because he's gone. There's nothing that you can do about it. He's not here. You have to forgive him, even though he's gone and he can't, you know, say, okay, thank you for forgiving me or whatever. You have to forgive him for you, okay? Forgiveness, when we forgive people, it's not for the other person so much as for us, so that we can be free, so that Satan won't have that power over us to keep us in bondage, because we're holding on to something that God, that Jesus clearly tells us in the Word to let go of. He tells us to forgive so that we can be forgiven.
I know, and if you don't do it, it will eat you alive.
It will eat you up. So this is what I want to know from you tonight. Are you willing to forgive him?
Yeah, I believe I forgave him before he passed away, but I wasn't really all the way at peace. I mean, over the years, I did a lot better. You know, I think it was this last year our relationship was, friendship-wise, it was a lot better.
And are you carrying...
I think it's so much her that I just... Oh, I don't even know why she's innocent in this. I just don't like her. And she was rude at the grave site. And I didn't even do nothing. I mean, she was... after the fact, she was rude. That's when I told her the truth. But
she felt intimidated, and maybe she knew something was going on anyway. See, a lot of times the wife
has
to deal with a whole lot of stuff that the husband is doing, and maybe she found out more information that you know about. So, I mean, you can kind of understand her. She's at the gravesite grieving her husband, and here comes this woman. Like, she doesn't want to see any other woman. You don't know how many women that she found about other than yourself. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she could have just been going through, you know, the fact that, well, Zach, how many women did he have? And I really don't feel like dealing with this right now.
Yeah.
You know, from her standpoint, because that was her husband. But what I want you to do is I want you to get whole. I want to make sure that you're okay. You know, like I said earlier, he's gone. He's not here anymore. Okay? You've already apologized to his wife. Now you have to move on. You said you found out that there were other women. You have to even forgive that. And I'm like, what? The nerve. I was cheating with him on his wife, but then he had other women too? The nerve of him. Okay, so you have to forgive that.
Yeah, because I'm like, because he broke off, actually, he broke off the affair maybe physically. He broke off the affair when his baby was born.
He broke
but
off the affair with you when the baby was born?
Yes, he broke off the affair when the baby was born. It was a life-changing event. He felt a lot of love towards his family, and he wanted to do the right thing. He didn't want to cheat on her anymore.
And that was good on his part. But you felt like he rejected you?
Say that again, I'm sorry?
Did you feel like he rejected you?
When he did that, in some weird way, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
when he ended the affair.
Yeah, I would feel that too. Oh, okay, he chose me. Here comes his baby. Now he chose her over me. You know, and that's a normal feeling to have, even though it's not right because he was married. But that's where your emotions took you, okay?
Yeah.
So you're being honest about that. That's where your emotions took you. But now you have to deal with the fact that, okay, he's gone. He's gone. He was cheating on you, on his wife, and probably was cheating on the other women too. On the other women too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just time for you to move on so that whoever God has for you, you can receive that person.
Yes.
That's what you want. And you want to make sure your heart is clean before God. Because another thing is you don't want to go into another relationship, okay, carrying any baggage from that relationship. You want your next relationship to be nice. You want your next relationship to be free of drama, which we know is always going to be something somewhere along the way. Okay? But if you really want God to choose your spouse for you, then begin to walk in his ways. Begin to do what he wants you to do. Now, you said you want to be born again. So that's an indication that you're not born again. Or were you born again and you backslid? Do you understand what born again means?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I'm not sure what it means. Like I said, now, I don't know why, but because of his death, it proved to me that you reap what you sow. I don't know why in a weird way it does, and now it's like I totally 100% believe it. Because before, like I said, I had a problem believing the Bible, that part. That's the only part I did not believe because I see all these, you know, him and I see all these other people, you know, getting away with all kinds of stuff. So I'm like, okay, that's the part I don't believe. But now, you know, since this happened, hey. So now that happened in a weird way, I totally believe it now 100%. I've always loved God. I've always loved him. He's answered I don't know how many prayers for me. And I know sometimes I feel ungrateful because I think about the stuff I don't have instead of being grateful for the stuff that I do have. I slip every now and then, you know. But
we all do. Nobody here is perfect. Nobody has arrived yet. And that's the thing that God wants us to know, that none of us are perfect. And he wants us to come to him just as we are. He wants us to come to him just like you just came out here like this truthful. You don't know me, but you came here tonight and you just bore your heart like that. And God works with that. He works with that. And so we're going to pray for you. But before we do that, I just want to read, and then I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes, I do.
All right, because I wanted to read 1 John chapter 5, and it says in verse 11, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Okay?
Okay.
I stand on those scriptures right there, that he that has the Son of God has life, and Jesus is the Son of God. And you said you've already accepted Jesus Christ, right, into your heart, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you've already repented and asked God to forgive you for committing adultery, right?
Oh, yes, I sure have. I sure did.
All right, and so you've forgiven the ex-boyfriend and you've forgiven everything that he's done, even though it still hurts, you've forgiven it.
Yeah.
And now you
yeah.
want to move on. So we're just going to pray for you right now, and I just want to tell you thank you for calling in on this evening.
You're welcome.
We
thank
just
you.
Pray right now, Christina, because that was really brave of you to call in. A lot of times people hurting and they stay hurting and they won't seek help. They won't seek prayer and they continue to hurt. But I thank God that you called in because I was a broken woman myself, okay? And God is
yeah.
still healing me from some things that I was broken from. So I know
yeah.
he can do it, okay? It's not
okay.
always an instant process. It's not always going to happen overnight. Some things, some hurts take time to get over. Okay, but God
okay.
is still your healer and your deliverer, and he will bring you through this. And when you come through this, you'll come through like a brand new person. And the person that God has for you, they'll be there for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
And do me a favor, because I want to give you such a big hug, but do me a favor. If you see a married man coming your way, run. Okay.
I know.
See a married man coming. Run. Okay. That means he belongs
I will.
To himself. All right.
I will.
Because now,
yeah.
since you said that you have given your life to God and you love God and you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you belong
yeah.
to God and your body belongs to him. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not even supposed to use our bodies for fornication. We're not supposed to even have sex outside of being married because your body
yeah.
is the temple of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So
okay.
since you love God so much, you belong to him. Right now you're married to him. Right now you're married to God. You're his and he's yours. And that's a good place to be in.
Yes.
It's a real
yes.
good place to be in. So if you do you have a Bible?
Yes, I do.
Okay. If I were you, I would ask you to read the book of John, the Gospel of John.
Okay.
Right now I'm reading John chapter 15, and it's talking about abiding in the vine, that Jesus is the vine. And we really can't do anything without him, not the good things that he wants us to do. We can't do that without him. But I would like for you to study that chapter. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, John chapter 15. I would really like for you to study that.
Okay.
We're usually on Mondays and Wednesdays, and I believe we're going to start doing Fridays again. And I think we're going to be talking about this subject for a little while. And even if we don't, if you see us on and you want to call in, just call in or join us in
okay.
the chat room, and we'll be here, Lord willing, okay?
Okay. Your chat room opens. I don't see it on the thing.
That's what people keep telling me they're having a hard time getting in. I did see someone
yeah.
get in, and then they popped back out, but I don't know if it's a technical difficulty. Because someone else told me that they were having problems getting in the chat room. I really don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah,
because
I
I'm in it,
I
and I'm sleeping in it, so
I had listened to other shows too, and I was having trouble getting in their chat room.
Oh, you're the second or third person that told me that, because my sister told me that the other day, yesterday actually, and then someone else told me that. So I refreshed it. I don't. I'm typing in it fine. I don't know why it's doing that. Maybe I'll shut it down and try to open it back up again. Because, but in the meantime, we're gonna pray. We're going to pray, Christina, in the meantime. Now, I'm trying to open the chat room back up. Now, did you have any more questions?
No, that's it. That's the whole story.
Okay. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
Really, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, good. The reason that I asked you that is because the Holy Spirit will help you pray when you don't know what to pray for. Okay? Say you're having a particularly bad day and you know, you having some emotional, you know, thoughts and stuff going on because of the situation. You just begin to call on the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need you right now. I need you right now to help me. I need you to pray for me because I don't even know what to pray for right now. And the Holy Spirit will begin to help you pray. Okay? And you will begin to feel this burden lifting off of you because you got a real enemy, and that's the devil. Okay?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All of us have the same enemy, and he wants all of us to be destroyed. Okay? God doesn't want us to be destroyed. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So he wants us to have a good life. He wants us to have abundant life. He doesn't want us to be tormented by Satan. That's why he gave us power for the enemy. Did you know that you have power over the enemy? Did you know that?
Yeah.
I'm serious, because I can show you the scripture. It's in the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power over the enemy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He gives us power over the enemy. And the enemy, Christina, the enemy doesn't want us to know that we have power over him. He doesn't want. I wish you could have been on while we were doing the Joyce Meyer's book, because we were talking about Battlefield of the Mind.
Oh, you know, I got that book.
I got it.
It's a very good book.
Excellent. When was the last time you read it?
Another one. Oh, I'm sorry. Say it again.
When was the last time you read anything out of that book?
Wow, back in maybe 2000.
Oh, well. pick it up again.
It's been a minute.
I would say pick it up again. Besides reading the Bible, the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of Luke, I actually would advise you to pick this up again and read it.
Okay.
Because it talks about an anxious and worried mind. It talks about a wandering, wondering mind. It talks about mind-binding spirits and not giving up. And, I mean, last night we just did chapter 14, The Passive Mind. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, we've been doing it every Monday for, like, 15 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yay,
so,
I got the book.
Pick it
I got
up.
Another book of hers.
Which one?
I got another book of hers that's really good. It's, what is it, Me and My Big Mouth?
I have that, too.
Yes.
The
yeah,
other
she
one,
has some good books.
Yeah, there's another one that says something about forgive. Why don't I do myself a favor and forgive?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good book, too. When you're dealing with who's on forgiveness, it says, do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor and forgive. Then she has another book that I have called Living Beyond Your Feelings. And I really, her books, I really believe that God anointed her for these books, because there's people out here who really not going to read the Bible, but they'll read these books.
These
books are good and they help. In this book called Do Yourself a Favor, Forgive, it talks about the emotion of anger, the roots of anger, the roots of jealousy, masking anger.
Yeah.
Who are you angry at? Help me, I'm angry. Help me, I'm in a relationship with an angry person. Why forgive?
Yeah.
It says, I want to forgive, but I don't know how. Finding hidden unforgiveness, the power of blessing, the power and blessing of unity. Chapter 13 says, have mercy upon me, O God. 14 says, lighten your load. And 15 says, God's reward. And I think we're going to start doing this book next. I think we'll do this one next. Because you heard these
That sounds like a lot of good topics in there.
Excellent. Excellent topics. And I think I'm going to go ahead and I think I might start doing this one. I'm going to pray and see what the Lord says. But I'm going to start. I may start doing this one. But forgiveness is key. And for yourself, I mean, because God demands it. God forgave us. He forgave us before we even knew it. Excuse me, anything about sin. God forgave us. He sent his son Jesus to forgive us for our future sin. For before we was even born, he sent his son Jesus to die for me. That's precious, to die for you. That's precious. And all he says to us to forgive. If you don't forgive others, then I'm not going to forgive you. That right there, that's a hard statement. But it's a powerful statement because the same thing that he gave us, he wants us to give to others. The same thing that he gave us, he wants us to give to others. And he wants us to be with him when we die. He wants us to go to heaven. Hallelujah. When we die, he wants us to be whole while we're here on this earth, Christine. He wants us to be whole, completely whole. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you right now because Sister Girlfriend can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk all night long. I'm going to pray with you and we'll just see what God does. And I hope that you call back in one day and give us an update and, you know, see what God has done for you. I like these kind of broadcasts when God does something for somebody. Lets me know it's not in vain. If you want to share your number so we can keep in touch, you can. You still can't get in the chat room?
I can't. Well, did I refresh this already?
What is wrong?
Let me refresh it right now.
I think my sister is on the line. Shirley, if that's you on the line, can you try to get in the chat room? Because I really don't know what's going on. I'm in there.
Yeah, I just refreshed it. Let's see. It goes on there.
Okay, guest 5431, is that you? Christina?
No. Okay. I don't know why I was thinking that's not my area code. I have no idea because I don't see the chat room yet.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Yeah, I
okay.
just refreshed the page and it's still loading.
Okay, because somebody just popped in the chat room as guest 5431. That could be my sister. I don't know. But someone just popped in the chat room, so it's working. I don't know why. I'm going to have to call Blog Talk Radio and ask them because yesterday it was the same problem. People kept saying, I'm trying to get in your chat room, but I can't get in. Oh, listen to the baby.
Yeah.
She want to get on the phone, too.
No.
Well, in the meantime, let's... Oh, my goodness. She wants to get on, too. Okay, you ready to pray? Uh-oh. Her call just dropped. 214. I got her number, though. Her call just dropped. Okay. Well, we just say thank God tonight for that. We were not expecting that, but thank God for that caller, Christina, who called in. And I still want to pray for her. I see Real MX. I don't know if that's you, Christina, because your call dropped. If that's you, just say hi in the chat room so that I'll know it's you. But I do have your phone number because when you called in, it came on the screen. So I do have your number on here. So let's just pray for Christina, everybody. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up Christina, our guest who just called in. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will just heal her of every hurt, Lord God, that she has experienced, Lord God, concerning the situation that she was in. Father, I pray that she forgive every single thing that was done to her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that she forgive herself, Lord God, and that she will understand that you love her, that you love her beyond anything. You love her, and your love is unchangeable. Father, I pray for the wife in the situation that you will heal her of her hurt, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, for she just lost her spouse, and she just doesn't know about some things that have been going on, but I pray that you heal her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, if she's not saved, I ask that you will save her, that you will bring her in to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that her soul will be saved, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, for it's not your will that any of us perish. It's not your will, God, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Father, not just Christina and this other lady, Lord God, but we all come to repentance tonight, Lord God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Things that we've said, things that we've done, things that we thought, things that we were supposed to do but didn't do. God, we ask you to forgive us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And not only forgive us, Lord God, we don't only just ask you to forgive us, but we turn away from our sin. We turn away from it. We change our minds about our sin. Sin, Lord God. If we're lying, we change our minds about lying. If we're stealing, we change our minds about stealing. If we're fornicating or committing adultery, we change our minds about that tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. God, if we're being drunk, Lord God, and doing drugs, Lord God, whatever it is that we're doing, if we're backbiting, Lord God, if we're being in sorcery, Lord God, if we're in witchcraft, anything that we're doing that is not like you, Lord God, we ask you first to forgive us, and then we repent. We turn away from it, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you right now for forgiveness of sin. We thank you for restoring us to you, Lord God. We thank you for your son, Jesus, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, and we bless your holy name. We glorify you, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'd like to say good evening to guests 5451 and Real MX. Good evening. And I believe that's my sister on the line. 267. If that's you, just press the 1. I'm not going to put you on the line. I just want to see if that's you because I keep making reference to it that it's my sister. Okay, they hung up, so maybe it's not my sister. Woo, anyway, one thing that I really want to talk about is about abuse. There are many women who are being abused. There's emotional abuse. There's physical abuse. There's self-abuse. And one of the things I really wanted to zone in on tonight is self-abuse, because a lot of times we go through things as women, and then we turn the attack on ourselves. We say, well, I wasn't good enough, or I should have been this, I should have been that, and then you know, some people cut themselves, some people go drinking so they get drunk so they can forget their problems, some people are closet pill takers. Some people just do things to abuse themselves. But God wants you to know tonight that if that is you, that God is ready to heal you if you are ready to be healed. God doesn't want us to abuse ourselves. God did not make us so that we can abuse ourselves. Okay? God wants us to be whole. He wants us to be set free. God wants us to live a blessed, happy life on this earth. He wants us to live. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And the scripture before that says, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's all Satan comes for. He comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. And if Satan can cause you to hurt yourself, he will get no more pleasure than that, than to have you destroy yourself, to have you to loathe yourself, to have you to hate yourself. And God did not make you to hate yourself. God did not make you for that person. God loves you. And the only something that hates you is your enemy, and that's the devil. The devil hates all of us. And you know why? It's because he can never go back to heaven and regain his rightful place with God. There will never be an atonement for Satan. Never be an atonement for him. God sent Jesus as our atonement to bring us back to himself. He did that for us. Satan can never have that. And he hates us. He hates the fact that we can go to heaven and live there eternally with God the Father. He hates that. But see, if he can flip the script and begin to have us hate ourselves and self-destruct ourselves and feel like God doesn't love us, then that's what he's going to do. He's going to set those attacks out there. He's going to send demons out there to come and try to, you know, talk to us in our minds and try to, you know, make it seem like you're out there all alone. But you're not alone. God is right there. God is there. You might feel like you're alone, and trust me, we can talk about that because I've been there, done that, but you are not alone. God is God, and he sees your tears, and he feels your pain. He sees it, and he feels it. And it might not seem like that to you right now, but I'm telling you that God is a God of love, and he feels everything that you're feeling, and he sees everything that you're going through, but he wants you to reach out to him. He wants you to cry out to him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to seek him, not the beer, not the liquor, not the pills, not the weed, not the cocaine, not the crack, not all that other stuff that takes you out of your mind. God wants you to seek him, and he wants you to get into his word so that you can renew your mind. He wants you to renew your mind. He wants you to understand that if you really are a believer in Christ Jesus, if you really are a child of God, that you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am a child of God, and God loves me. You can take today and say, I will not go another day and self-abuse. I will not go another day cutting myself. I will not go another day fornicating and throwing my body out there with this person and this person and this person and trying anything. I won't do it because God loves me and I am his child. But you have to believe that. You have to believe that. You have to tell the devil to shut up. Tell him, you have no more place in my mind, devil. These thoughts that you're bringing to my mind, you have no more place in my mind, devil. I don't receive your thoughts anymore, devil. I don't receive your thoughts anymore, devil. I am a child of the Most High God, and I do not receive your thoughts anymore in the name of Jesus. But you have to do something about it. You have to speak up. You have to come out of depression. You have to stop allowing the devil to keep you in that place because his entire intention is to separate you and then assassinate you. He wants to separate you from anything good. He wants to separate you from the saints of God. He wants to separate you from the word of God so that he can assassinate you. I just spoke into your hearing that the thief cometh not before to kill, to steal, and destroy. That means that when Satan comes, he has nothing good for you. His intentions for you are never good. He wants you to hurt yourself, and anything that wants you to hurt yourself is not of God. God can't be a God of love and want you to hurt yourself. God cannot be a God of love and want you to cut yourself. That's not God. That's not God telling you to abuse yourself. calling yourself names, telling yourself you'll never be nothing, telling yourself that no man will ever want you, telling yourself that you're no good for anybody. That's not God. But you have to get ready to stand up and say, no more, devil. No more, devil. You've taken too much of my life, and right now I'm taking my life back through Jesus Christ. I'm taking my life back through Jesus Christ. But you gotta get the courage to do it. You gotta say, look, I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough. And when you begin to do that, you'll begin to see that Satan will leave you for a season. You will begin to see that the enemy, he'll leave you for a season. You begin to praise God. You begin to trust God. You begin to believe God. You begin to read your word. You begin to study your word. You begin to seek God with your whole heart and begin to see things start to happen. And you'll be like that caterpillar going into that cocoon. And then he gets into that cocoon. And he stays in that cocoon until his process is over. And then when his process is over, he comes out of that cocoon a whole different creature. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hi, Shirley. Hi. I wish more people were here listening to this broadcast tonight, because the truth of the matter is there's a lot of people hurting. There's a lot of people hurting tonight. And you know what? The enemy doesn't want us to know the truth, because the truth will make us free. The enemy doesn't want us to know that we can be healed and that we can be delivered. The enemy doesn't want us to know that, because he wants us to stay in darkness. He wants us to stay in depression. He wants us to stay, you know, in a place of separation so that he can assassinate us. That's what Satan wants. That's what he wants, but we don't have to give him what he wants. Come out of that depression. Come out of that anger. Come out of that bitterness. Come out of that fear. Come out of the thinking that you're not good enough and nobody loves you and nobody wants you. And this, come out of that in the name of Jesus, because that's not God's best for you. That's not any, they don't have anything to do with God. When we're cutting and hurting ourselves, some people just give their bodies away. I was looking at this the other day, and this young girl, she just gave her body away, and she was had this tough exterior, and she was trying to be all bad and everything. But every time she turned around, she was crying. She was crying because she was hurting, and because she was hurting herself. But the devil had made her believe that what she was doing was great and it was good, and she was having fun, but no less than three times was she crying on that program. No less than three times she sat there crying, and she finally said, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. This is why I'm doing this, because I'm hurting. Do you know how many people are walking around hurting themselves because they're hurting? They're hurting themselves. They throw caution to the wind. They're out there having sex with whomever they want to have sex with, whether it's male or female or both. Not using protection, just doing something because they're hurting so much, they don't know how to come out of the hurt, so they just don't care. But God wants you to know tonight that he cares. He wants you to know tonight that he really does care. He really does care. How do I know? Because I'm still here. I know because I'm still here. I felt like that many days in my life. Many days in my life, I felt like God didn't care about me. Many days in my life, I felt like nobody cared about me. Not just God, but nobody. I felt like nobody in this world cared about this person called Teresa. And at times, I still feel that way. At times, I still feel that way. But what I do is I go to the Word. Sometimes I cry. Sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. Sometimes I just feel like what I feel like. When I recognize it's the spirit of depression and Satan is trying to get me, I get myself together. I get myself together. Because once you go into depression, if you don't get yourself together, that thing will take over. That thing will take over. But that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants us to be in a place where we're out of our minds. He wants us depressed. He wants us depraved. He wants us sitting in a room with the window shut and you're not talking to anybody. He wants us on drugs. He wants us drunk so that we don't even know what we're talking about. We can't feel nothing. This is what the devil wants, but that's not what God wants. He wants us healed. In the book of Luke, we read the account of the woman that had the infirmity for 18 years. She had an infirmity for 18 years. She went to the doctors. The doctors couldn't help her get better. She went everywhere trying to get help, and they could not help her. She spent money after money after money trying to help her, and she didn't get whole until Jesus got on the scene. And when Jesus got on the scene, he called her to himself. He said, "Come here, woman." And he didn't ask her nothing. He laid his hands on her and said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Glory to God. "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And I'm going to tell you something. T.D. Jakes came up with that, "Woman, thou art loosed." And I thank God that he came up, because a lot of women were set free from that. But I got my own "Woman, thou art loosed" story I could tell you. I got my own story of how God delivered me and set me free. I got my own story. I can tell you that when I was trying to kill myself, God didn't allow it. He didn't allow me to kill myself when I tried it over again. He didn't allow it because I was hurting so bad in my life. He didn't allow it, though. And why he didn't allow it? For such a time as this. For such a time as this, so I can minister to other women who've been broken, other women who've been raped, other women who've been abused, other women who've been abandoned and rejected. And so I can tell you that the same God that helps me, and I said helps with an S, the same God that continues to help me, he can help you. You don't have to turn to alcohol. I was an alcoholic because I was a hurting woman. I turned to alcohol. I tried to be somebody I wasn't. I felt like I was only somebody when I was doing the things that the world was doing. Drinking, you know, got my little boyfriend on the side, you know, that kind of stuff. Smoking weed and cigarettes, and didn't even like this stuff, but I was doing it because I was trying to get people to like me, because I didn't like myself, and I didn't think nobody else in my family liked me, so I did anything I could to try to get people to like me, and they still didn't like me, so I went home and was depressed anyway. And then my husband didn't like me because he was out there cheating on me. Not my husband I'm with now. Let me clear that up. But this was years ago when I was 19, 20 years old. Rejection, abandonment. I mean, all kind of stuff that I went through, and I chased after men. I let men use me. I let men just do what they wanted to do with me. I did stuff to myself. I drank. I smoked. I just didn't care because I felt like nobody else cared. But guess what? God cares. God cares. God cares. Believe, I'm not telling you something I learned in the textbook. Believe me what I tell you. I'm talking about I lived it, and I know that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants us to be destroyed. But God. Oh, hallelujah. But God. But God. Oh, yeah, he took this kookaloo right here, this crazy one right here. This kookaloo, this girl right here, out of her mind. I was out of my mind. But God, hallelujah, God, he set the captives free. Hallelujah, glory to God. And like I said, that story about "woman, thou art loose," he did that to me. He showed me those words in the Bible when I didn't know nothing about a T.D. Jakes. I didn't know nothing about a "woman, thou art loose." That's why it's important to read the Word of God, because the Word of God is the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And when God showed me his truth in the Word, when he showed me that very scripture, while I was in a mental hospital, y'all, I was in a mental hospital because I threatened to kill somebody because I had a traumatic episode that happened in my life. It was traumatic. And the lady called the popo on me, and they took me to the mental hospital. But while I was in there, God spoke to me through the Bible. No preacher, no prophet, no apostle, no evangelist, no minister, no deacon, no nobody. You hear me? The priest brought me the Bible, and that was it. He didn't minister to me or nothing. And when I opened up that New Testament Bible, I'll never forget it. When I opened it up, the words jumped off the page and said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." I promise you I'm not lying. The words lifted off the page in bold black ink. Now, if you know anything about those pocket New Testaments, those letters are very small. The letters illuminated and lifted off the page and spoke to me, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." I got up from that bed right then and went to the administrators and said, "I gotta go. I don't belong here." And they said, "No, miss, you can't go." I said, "I don't belong here. You gotta let me go." She got her people together. They had a meeting. They called me in the room, asked me some questions, called themselves evaluating me, realized I was okay. They let me go. God said, "Woman, thou art loose." Hear this tonight, because if you're in bondage tonight to self-hatred, to hurting yourself, if you've been rejected, if you've been abused, if you've been misused, if you feel like you've been abandoned, if you're hurting right now, when you feel like there's no hope, woman, thou art loose right now from thine infirmity. Receive it. Believe it and receive it. You are loosed, woman, from your infirmity. Don't let the enemy have any more of your time. Tell him what Jesus said. Tell him, "I am loosed from my infirmity right now in the name of Jesus." Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. If you're in the chat room, if you want to call, if you have a question, comment, praise report, please dial. Area code 323-693-3054 and press the 1 and we'll get you on the air. I see my sister's number is pressed, but I believe it's because I asked her to press it. If you want to talk, let me know, Shirley, and I'll get you on. You can let me know in the chat room if you want to talk. But this is why I'm going to move the program to 7 o'clock, because there's many more people that need to hear this. There's people that need to hear this because they need to be set free. Not because I'm saying it, but because they need to know that if God did it for somebody else, he will do it for you too. If God will do it for somebody else, he will do it for you too. He's not a respecter of persons. God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. God doesn't love me because I do Blog Talk Radio. He doesn't love me because I'm an ordained elder and I'm an evangelist. He doesn't love me because I have a piece of paper from a college in Florida that says it's a bachelor's degree. He doesn't love me because that stuff will perish. None of this stuff matters. God loves me and God loves you simply because he's God. That's all. That's all. There's no other reason. You cannot be good enough for God to love you. He just loves you. That's it. That's it. That's it. We can never be good enough. God loved us because he is love. That's it. That's all. I'm telling you. Jesus is Lord. I pray that this episode helps somebody tonight. I pray that someone will go back into the archives and listen to this episode. I pray that those of you that listen are listening now, who have listened, who came by, that you will invite your friends to come listen to this program. If you know somebody that's hurting, if you know somebody that's self, you know, hating, somebody that's self-afflicting, you know, cutting themselves, burning themselves, hitting themselves in the head, banging themselves, their heads on the wall. This is a program for them to listen to so they can understand that God loves them. And even in his love for us, there is still something that we must do. And we got to surrender to God. And we just got to surrender to God. It's that simple. It's a choice. Area code 267. I pressed the microphone. Hello, are you there? All right. Area code 267. I wanted to see if I could get some more people to come in. And tonight's also Wednesday, so people go to Bible study on Wednesdays. And I'm just going to pray because I'm going to revamp the program because we really need to have more listeners coming in to hear these things. But, I mean, honestly, God wants to heal us. I picked up this book. And I knew there's a lot of backlash about Joyce Meyer. But there's some things, and I think the backlash is coming because Satan just does not want people to get healed and delivered. I mean, it's just amazing that I can look up Joyce Meyer, and I don't find anything, haven't found anything thus far that would keep me from, like, the things that God uses her to write, these are things that are healing things. Help me, I'm angry. Help me, I'm angry. And people just don't want to be, they don't want, Satan just doesn't want people to get delivered. Why forgive? Why should I forgive? They raped me. They hurt me. They did this to me. Why should I forgive them? Because the longer you hold on to unforgiveness, the more it's going to hurt you. The more it's going to keep you separated from God the Father. The more you hold on to unforgiveness. Yes, they hurt you. Yes, they cursed you out. Yes, they called you names. Yes, they said they hate you. Yes, they said whatever, whatever, whatever. But we got to forgive. I remember, and I'm going to say this story. It's about my husband. And my husband was confronted by someone at a church one day, and it really shouldn't have come to that, but it did. And the guy, when we got outside, the guy said a whole bunch of stuff to my husband, called my husband names, called him a snake and a viper and all this other stuff. My husband turned to go back in the church to tell the pastor at the time what this person had just said to him. But you know what? God wouldn't let my husband do it. He said, you have every right to go in there and tell on him. But if you want what I have for you, if you want my best for you, just leave it alone. Don't do it. He had to forgive him. My husband had to forgive this guy for what he did. Well, he made a conscious decision to obey God and just let it go. See, God gives us free will. He gives us free will. It's up to us whether we're going to obey God. It's up to us whether we're going to obey God or not. So, if somebody's doing something to you, forgive. forgive. If you're doing something to someone else, ask them to forgive you. How about that? We always talking about so-and-so did something to me. What is it that we've done to someone else? How many people have we offended in our lives? How many people have we mistreated in our lives? How many people have we had bad thoughts about in our lives? How many times have we been not the perfect person in our lives and we've offended somebody just by looking at them the wrong way or saying the wrong thing to them? Because we might not even been mad at them. We might have been mad at somebody else. See, and then when we're talking about, well, I can't forgive. Well, what if God said, I can't forgive you? What if God said that? You know that time that you stole something? What if God said, I'm not forgiving you for that? You know that time when you disobeyed God? He said, go hand out the clothes to the homeless, and you just like, yeah, I don't feel like it. Maybe he just said, be nice to that person that was just really, really, really mean to you. And no, because you just felt like you had to pop off, you just popped off, and now you done made a bad witness for everybody. What if God just got up one day and said, I don't feel like forgiving you? And he started rehearsing every single thing we've done. What if he did that? What if God did that? What if God really did that? They're like, you know what? I'm not going to forgive him. I told him to go start a church. He ain't done it yet. I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive her. I told her to open up a women's shelter. She ain't done it yet. Because she keeps saying, I can't. I don't have the money. I don't have a car. You got an excuse for everything I tell you to do, so I'm not going to forgive you. What if God did that? What if God acted like us? We'd be in trouble. We'd be in trouble. You heard? This is what I'm going to say right now. If you want to be free, God is never, ever any further away than a prayer. God is never, ever further away than a prayer. God's not somewhere lingering in space so far away that you can't talk to him. God is right there waiting for you. Right there. He's right there waiting for me. You want to be healed? God, I heard that lady, and she said that I don't have to hurt myself anymore. She said that you could heal me. Now, God, if she's telling the truth, I need you to heal me. I don't want to do drugs anymore. I don't want to give my body away to just anybody anymore. I want to save my body for my spouse. I want to save my body as the temple of the Holy Ghost. God, help me. I don't want to use that razor on myself because I've told myself so long that the pain of the razor it takes away the rest of the pain. But that's a lie from Satan, and I'm telling you that's a lie from Satan. He wants to disfigure you, and he wants you to cut yourself the wrong way one time so that you don't recover. Satan don't like you. He don't like me. He don't like any of us. Please turn to God tonight. Please turn to God wherever you are when you hear this broadcast. Please turn to God. He loves you. He loves you with a love that is just, it's unimaginable, but it's real. He loves you with a love that's, it's not a judgmental love. It's not a changing love. It's not a, if you love me, I'll love you kind of love. His love is pure. God's love is pure, and his love is everlasting. Yeah, his love is genuine. Yeah, God's love is genuine. Yeah, his love is genuine. That's what God's love is this genuine, yeah. And if you cry out to him in the middle of the night, he won't be angry with you. No, he won't be, because he loves you. Glory to God. If you call out to him and you're crying and you don't really know what to say, he's not going to say, look, get to the point and just tell me what's going on, because he already knows. He loves you. He loves you. God's not going to get angry with you if you ask him for your Holy Spirit to help you to mortify the deeds of your flesh. No, God is going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to give you his love unconditionally, because why? You're his. You belong to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. On the other hand, the enemy is not going to give you love. Anything the enemy gives you, it's intended for your doom. Anything that is evil comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God. Anything evil is not from God. If you're hurting yourself and you feel like you have to be a hooker or a prostitute or a whore, that's not God telling you to do that. Come out from amongst it. Try God tonight. Try God wherever you are. You can get down on your knees right now wherever you are and just begin to cry out to God, and he will hear you. You can just forget about Satan and just cry out to God right now and say, God, I need you. Please come into my life right now, God. I can't do it anymore. I can't run anymore. I can't take another drink. I can't take any more weed. I can't take any more crack. I can't take any more of that other stuff out there. I can't do it anymore. It's not doing anything for me, God. But right now, I got to turn to you. There's nowhere else I can go right now, God, but you. Help me, God. I'm reaching out to you, God. I'm reaching out to you. I need you, God. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you right now, God. I need you right now. I need you right now, God. I need you right now, God. Help me, Lord God. Help me, Lord God, because I cannot do this on my own, God. Help me. Help me. Help me. And if you cry out to God like that, if you cry out to God however you need to cry out to God, he will help you and he will deliver you. Yes, he will. He will deliver you. Yes, he will. God will do it right where you are. Even if you have a needle in your hand right now getting ready to shoot up heroin, God can heal you right now. You don't have to take that shot of heroin. You don't have to sniff that snort that row of cocaine right now. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get that boing and light up that crack and smoke that weed. You don't have to do that right now. You don't have to do it anymore from this moment. And you don't have to do it, because your Heavenly Father, God, is standing right there waiting to help you. You don't have to give your body away to every man and every woman that comes by. You don't have to do it anymore after this moment if you would just give your life over to God and trust him. If you would just cry out to God and ask him. The Bible says, David said, this poor man cried out to the Lord. He heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. He delivered me from all of my troubles. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And you might say, I'm not righteous right now. But guess what? Don't let that stop you. Run to the Lord right now. Run to God the Father right now. He's waiting for you with open arms. Run to him and he will heal you. Run to him and he will deliver you. Run to him, hallelujah, and he will set you free. He will set you free. He will set you free. He will do for you what no drug could ever do for you. He will do for you what no liquor can ever do for you. He will do for you what no amount of sex can ever do for you. Even if you have a shopping addiction, God can be better to you than a shopping addiction. Yes. Trust God. Trust God. Cry out to him. He will hear you and deliver you. He will heal you and he will set you free. Yes, hallelujah, he will. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. I cry out for those tonight who are hurting. I cry out for those tonight who are standing in need of healing. I cry out for you tonight who are hurting, who are cutting themselves, who are drinking, who are doing drugs, who are giving their bodies away to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Mary, Nancy, and Sue, whoever it is. Those of you that are hiding because you're hurting, you're not telling anybody about your hurt, I cry out to you, for you, right now in the name of Jesus. I cry out for you. And I cry out for you so much because I've already been there and done that. I've been through it. And I cry out for you for your deliverance, for your healing, so that you don't have to cry about this thing anymore, so you don't have to suffer with this thing anymore. I cry out for you. God, would you save them, please? God, would you deliver them, please? God, would you set them free tonight, God, or whenever they're listening to this broadcast? God, would you set them free, God, in the name of Jesus? God, you did it for me. Please do it for them, God, in the name of Jesus. Some of them are scared to cry out to you, Lord God, but I cry out to them, to you for them right now, Lord God. I cry out to you on their behalf, God, because they don't know what to do. Some of them right now are just ready to shoot up. Some of them right now are just ready to just go and put their makeup on and go to the bar and go to the club because they want to be free. They don't want to feel the pain, and their home reminds them of pain. The pictures they have up on their wall reminds them of pain. But God, tonight I ask you to heal them. I ask you to heal them. I ask you to heal them, Lord God. To the ones sitting in their room depressed, afraid, angry, bitter, Lord God, feeling rejected, Lord God. I pray for them right now, God, in the name of Jesus, that you heal them, that you set them free, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I lift up Nadia to you, Lord God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever her pain is, God, I ask that you would just begin to draw her to you, Lord God. Draw her, Lord God, to you, God, in the name of Jesus, so that she can be saved, so that she can be delivered, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, so many people are demon-possessed. Some of them are oppressed by Satan, but God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord God, I ask you to send your ministering spirits, Lord God, hallelujah, to your people, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that they can come to you, Lord God, and be healed. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Some trust in horoscopes, Lord God. Some trust in psychics, Lord God. But, Father, I ask, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will draw them to you. You are, hallelujah, the only one that knows all, that sees all, and is omnipresent. God, you're the only one. God, in the name of Jesus, look upon your people, Lord God. Look upon the abused woman, oh God. Look upon the abused Christian woman, oh God. Look upon the abuser, Lord God, and stop the abuse, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, only you can, only you can, only you can, only you can, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God, I just lift them up to you, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus over the mind of the woman that wants to hurt herself, Lord God, because she feels like she's not loved. I plead the blood of Jesus over the mind of the woman, Lord God, that feels like she's been abandoned and rejected, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus over the mind of the woman who thinks that she can never be good enough. I just plead the blood of Jesus over their minds, God. I plead the blood of Jesus over their minds. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Help today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, oh God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, I pray for Susan tonight. Lord, and I just bind and rebuke the attack on her mind, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you bring healing and deliverance in that family, oh God, as only you can, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we can't do it. We can't do it, God. We need you. We need you to step in, and we need you, Lord God, to do this thing, Lord God. We need you. We need you. And we need you now, Lord God. Not another minute, another second, Lord. Not another hour. Not another day. But we need you, Lord, right away. Somebody needs you right away. Somebody just got raped, Lord God. Somebody just got molested, Lord God. They need you right now, Lord God. They need you right now. Right away, Lord.
Another minute, not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee, come rescue me. I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another second or another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed, you're my best friend, I know in need. I stretch my hands to thee, come rescue me, I need you right away.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know I have to cry out to God like that sometimes and say, Lord, look, not another second, not another minute, not another hour, not another day, but I need you right away. 911, I need you right away. This is an emergency. Hallelujah. And guess what? Don't you know he shows right up? He shows up. Why? Because he loves me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he loves you too. Hallelujah. Like I said before, God is not, he is so not a respecter of persons. He is not a respecter of persons. And you know what? I'm going to share this with y'all. I walked out my room and I just came back in my room. Okay. This king size bed I have is huge. Now, I've been in this room for 2 hours. When I come back in the room, guess what's on my bed? An earring that I probably should have sat on, but it's an earring shaped in a heart that says love. I kid you not. In the very spot that I was just sitting on, this ring, this earring shaped in a heart that says love is on my bed. Okay. You might not be excited about that, but I am. Where did this earring come from? First of all, it's not mine. But God, you show me this sign of love and a heart. You show me the sign at this particular time, on this particular broadcast. Oh, that means something to me. God is love. That's special. That's special. Now, where did this come from? And the place where it was, I should have sat on it, and it should have hurt me the way it was on my bed, because the post to the earring is sticking straight up where I could have sat on it. But I picked it up, and I looked, and it says love, and it's a heart. Don't tell me God don't love you. Don't tell me God don't love me. Don't tell me God is not a God of love, because yes, he is. Now, y'all take that for yourself, that God loves you. Take that for yourself. That's special. Y'all understand what I'm saying. This is special, that this heart earring would be laying in my bed, sitting up in my bed. And it says love. It's a gold heart. And it says love. I don't know where this earring came from. But I tell God thank you. I tell God thank you. Wow. Wow. That's special. Now, because that was so special for me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to play this one song, and then we're going to go off the air. For tonight, Jesus is love. If I can find it, I'll play it. And it's called How I Got Over. If I can find it, that is. Here it is. My sister.
You know, back in the day when we used to have testimony service, my mama would stand up on.
I don't know why it stopped, but let's try it again.
You know, back in the day when we used to have testimony service, my mama would stand up on her feet and she'd throw her head back and sang songs like this. She said, how I got over, how I got over, my soul. Run me through great trials. Run me.
Down to the altar, hand it over, leave it there, it's gonna be alright. take it to the Lord in
prayer.
Ask him anything you want, because
lady,
oh,
I can't find
nobody
there can't find.
Hit me.
How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
I'm so excited. So on our next broadcast, we're going to still be talking about women broken, women whole. Join us. If you can invite your friends, your families, your frenemies, your enemies, ask them to come on by as we talk about women broken, women whole. Amen, amen. Thank you for joining us on tonight. God bless you. And if the Lord says the same, we'll hang out with you guys again on Friday at 7 p.m. with 7 p.m. Amen. God bless you. Good night. Hasta la vista. There's no one like you.